Organic, the radio show. I think I finally figured out the board. On today's show, we're going to be talking more about the Great Soil Collapse. I'm calling it the Great Soil Collapse. It's all started by with an article called the Great Nutrient Collapse. And then I'm going to be talking about bricks and minerals and how organic gardening can save the world. Don't go away. You're beginning the rest of the song after my next show coming up is called Cosmic Spaceship. This song here has dual, I was going to say dual, but they're really twin holograms. It actually generates two holograms. And I'll be happy to explain that to you. I'm going to be changing the format of my show, the Cosmic Spaceship. I like teaching things, so I can't help it. if you want to talk to me, you're out of luck because I'm not talking to anybody ever. I'm not going to talk to anybody ever again. I'm just going to sit over here and mumble. So listen, the number to call is 888-627-6008. And I'm hoping that I got the my voice down. I got the music down. That's a toll line. The direct line is 323-744-4831. Of course, there are more numbers. We use Skype, so if you want to call directly through Skype, it's BBS Radio PR. BBS Radio PR. If you hear the TV in the background, it's because I forgot to turn on the TV for my wife. And then there's one more number, which I'm not sure what it is, but I have it here. And I think if you call this number, you'll probably get on the air too. I don't know if I should give all these numbers away. I should just give a few. But if you have a preference for numbers, it's 530-636-6080. Why would you always just write it down and tape it to the door or to the screen or something so you can call me? The other way you can talk to me is Andy Lopez at InvisibleGardener.com. You got to spell it all right. Oh, something dingling. All kinds of jingles going on everywhere here. I love computers, don't you? Thanks to the... this show has been brought to you by BBS Radio PR. We're a bunch of great guys here. I've been going to one radio station or another since 1970. So and I've had Don't Panic, It's Organic. I love it here. I just have to get you guys to get off your butt and talk to me and do something, okay? So on today's show, I'm going to talk about the great soil collapse. And I've been talking about healing the soil as far back as I can remember. I think in the sixth grade, now this is true, in the sixth grade, I think I started doing my business, I started doing gardening for people. Well, I started from my home, right? In my backyard, my front yard. I had tomatoes growing on the fence. I remember the first interaction I had with people. They would walk by and take a tomato plant. I mean, a tomato, walk away with it. And then right there, I'm in the front yard, and I'm looking at them going, there must be something I'm missing here. Is this like normal? People walk by and take stuff? So then that person came back the next day or a couple of days later, and he was going to take it. I said, I don't wish to bother you, but you know that's stealing. And I said, no, I don't know. It was right here by the sidewalk. I can pick it. No. But I tell you what, you can have it. It's okay. I'm just not sure if that's normal for you to walk by my front yard and just pick it. And so he said, well, you know, if you want people to pay you, put a bucket out there, a little coffee can, and put, you know, donation on it, and the people pay you. Otherwise, it's human habit to go and pick stuff, you know. That's what I did. I was making some money from that. That was when I started my business. And it would be like to the point where I would just say, you know, you don't have any money, it's okay. Just have a tomato, you know. Or then I started doing peas and other stuff. And eventually, anyway, the yard was beautiful. And the next-door neighbor wanted in. So I said, okay, how much do you want to pay? You know, that kind of stuff. By the ninth grade, 150 customers. And here's the thing. I was healing the earth even then, okay? I wasn't using chemicals and never started with chemicals. And to me, it just seems very, I don't know, I don't want to use the word religious or spiritual or, you know, but it was just like things growing out of the soil that we eat, cool, right? And there seems to be a reason for that, you know? And people always would tell me, you should spray it with this or spray it with that. I said, does it look like there's something wrong with it? Because I don't know where I got the saying, if it ain't broken, don't fix it. But people would say, you know, you need to spray this, you need to spray that. The bugs are going to get you. And I'm going, no, I don't think so. And even then I go, well, isn't that what the bugs are supposed to do, you know? Isn't that their jobs too, you know? I was dancing with ants way before I wrote the book Dances with Ants, which is a book I wrote, by the way. I want you to go out and buy my book, Dances with Ants. Actually, I put it as a free insert into my latest book, Don't Panic, It's Organic. It'll say includes Dances with Ants. And I haven't started printing Dances with Ants yet. I might. When I I have books I give them away, so I've already given, well, the first book, I've given thousands of books away. That was How to Heal the Earth in Your Spare Time. And even then, that was 1970, okay? 1970, well, so, okay, wait a minute. Let's see, when did I do that one? 1972, 73, 74, somewhere around there, I published my first book, How to Heal the Earth in Your Spare Time. And in those days, I was talking about healing the earth. But yeah, I was talking about healing the soil, but I just didn't have it as together as I do now and tell people you need to heal the soil, right? I'm telling people then in those days, heal the earth and you heal yourself, which is the same thing I'm saying now. This whole, the great nutrient collapse, right? Sciences, and if you have been listening, you know what I'm talking about, but if you haven't been listening or this is your first time here, I'll go over it again real briefly for you. There's a scientist that wanted to find out. He realized there's a relationship between rising CO2 levels and the nutrient level of the food we eat, specifically rice, corn, those things which are major crops that the humans like to eat. And they did a study, and they said there's a definite correlation between the rise of CO2 and the nutrient deficiency in plants. We're not sure what that link is. We do know that it started, the CO2 level started around the Industrial Revolution. And that's about, you know, as far as they've gotten, as far as I can tell, even though I'm trying to get a hold of them. I wish that I could get a hold of the scientists it just occurred to me I probably should Google him and see if I can somehow figure out where he lives and talk to him somehow. I thought I had sent email to the scientists, but it turns out I sent emails to the person who wrote the column, which. You know, I guess she's not going to do anything about it. Gee, I don't have the person's name here offhand. But anyway, they just didn't understand what the correlation was. They know that CO2 rises. Well, you know, they figure, well, CO2 and plants are good, right? So why should there be a problem? Why should there be a nutritional? Why should the value of nutrients be less and less? And the make a long story short, yeah, the Industrial Revolution has something to do with it. Okay, CO2 started been raising ever since. Okay, we have a major CO2 problem on the planet right now. But why? Here's the thing. Okay, so. What's happening is that the Industrial Revolution started fertilizers. Chemical fertilizers is the main one of the things that came out of the Industrial Revolution. Okay? You know, how to make these fertilizers with the machinery, equipment, all that stuff. And then went on to other things. But fertilizers, chemical fertilizers. It was touted as a big boon to humankind, right? And that's also when they started doing massive farming, because we have the fertilizers, we can do more farming. And what is it that all this has in common? Right? The soil. I call it the soil because that's exactly what it is. We can say the earth, but the earth is a big, it's a combination of all these living things together. We call it the biosphere. All these living things, whether it be soil, whether it be water, whether it be birds, animals, it's all interconnected, recyclable, right? Web. Some people call it the soil web or the soul web, right? S-O-U-L, soul web. I always find it interesting that soil, S-O-I-L, and soul, S-O-U-L, are, well, four letters, right? They all both start with an S and end with an L. And what are the differences in the middle? It just occurred to me, O-I and S-O-U-L. So soil is O-I and soul is O-U. Maybe the O is in there. So it's just missing the I and the U, which again is very interesting, right? Missing the I and the U. That means me and you. Anyway, they sound enough alike to me that there's some type of relationship there in the soil and the soul. And I have another show called The Body in the Garden, which I'm going to start doing here as well. I decided that I'm going to bring my doctor friends on board. I have one of the greatest scientists on the planet, doctors on the planet, a doctor. This guy is a doctor who realized the relationship with the soil and plants. So he went into farming so he can understand that better, so he can bring his knowledge back of farming and agriculture to medicine. Isn't that cool? And so he and I go way back, and we've lost contact for a little while there because he's been traveling around the world doing stuff, but he's going to be on my show. His name is Arden Anderson. Look him up. And I have other doctors and other friends that I'm going to be inviting on this show. So when I'm doing the Body in the Garden show, you'll know it. Okay, you'll know it. We'll say now we're doing the Body in the Garden. And then when I'm. So if you're a doctor or if you're a healer, if the body has to do not just with food or being a doctor, because what we eat, but meditation has to do with, you know, our spiritual awareness, our consciousness, lots of things going on in the body. It's just like it's going on in the garden, right? The body in the garden. The garden has a lot, you know, lots of correlations that happen because we evolved from the soil. We evolved from the soil. The trees, all these, for millions of years, trees did their thing in the soil. They evolved from the soil, right? They have roots in the soil. The living soil, the living organism in the soil is what feeds these trees. It feeds everything, it actually feeds everything, indirectly or directly, right? That's why they call it, the food chain, okay? And we think we're at the top of the food chain, but we're not. Yeah, you know, and this organism is at the beginning and the end of the food chain. Guess what happens when we die, right? Oh, I got to do this. This is... And everything comes down to energy, right? Everything comes down to energy. So this song here, the world, by the way, the world is a hologram, okay? I'm just going to tell it to you. Just lay it out right. It's a hologram. So this song, so I said, if everything's energy, just like, you know, you have to understand the earth, right? You have to understand the relationship the earth has with the universe, with the cosmos. Then you're going to go to energy. Scientists are now starting to understand energy, barely understanding. I'm happy to explain it to them. So I hope I got this mixture down right so that my voice is still good. You can hear the music in the background. So what I try to do is, and to be very right from the very beginning, when I started, when I did my gardening work with people, I said to myself, well, what makes things healthy, right? What makes things healthy in our bodies? What makes things healthy? And in the soil, what is it that makes the plants and stuff grow healthy? And you know, I was telling you that we evolved from the soil. So here's a scenario: we have a tree. Everything's in the ground. It can't go anywhere. The roots are there, right? And so, yeah, there's an evolution that happens between the living organism and the soil and the tree, and how the transfer of important minerals and trace minerals and nutrients. And organic gardening says, feed the soil, and then the soil feeds the plants. I heard that, I think, in 1970, somewhere along the lines in there, when I got out of the service, I started reading the Rodale books. I don't think I picked up any books, before I went in the service. When I was doing my stuff, I don't think. Maybe I may have. I can't remember that. I remember certain things during that time period. I remember, I think I had 150 customers at one time. And I didn't do them all at the same time. We had it spread out throughout the year. Some of them were like, go there once a month. Some of them were like every 3 or 4 months. Just like I'm doing now. Nothing's changed except that during those days I was actually gardening. Now I'm not a gardener. I have the name Invisible Gardener. And the name Invisible Gardener, I'd say, is a very interesting name too, because it has to do with the invisible energy. What you don't see. And that's what this is right here. Do you see anything? So the energy that grows everything, you don't see it except you see the results. You see the plants growing, things healthy, animals growing, life, right? Like gravity. You don't see gravity, but you know it's there to some extent. You don't see the dark matter. You don't see all this stuff. It's all there. So I got one reason why I got the name Invisible Gardener rather than the gardener is the Invisible Gardener. The Invisible Gardener is that energy all around us and makes everything grow. And there's a reason why we need all these trace minerals. Why we need this? You say our bodies need it, right? So this, to me, there's an obvious and a not so obvious, right? I wanted to tell you that. I'm one of those guys, I forget the name of it, but I see sound and I hear color. It kind of helps in a lot of different ways. When I do this song, the frequencies of the songs. There are several different bands of frequency in there, and I write the song specifically for the frequency. Okay, and I can make it in your face type of frequency where you hear the thing, or subtle, where you don't hear it but you do hear it. Your body hears it. So when I do the, I call it inner gardening music. So in terms of, and I don't want to get too spaced out and go off and never land, because this is supposed to be a gardening show. So if you want to call me about gardening questions, please feel free. I'm just trying to explain to you what's going on here. And what's, to make a long story short, we have been destroying the soil. We have been destroying our stomachs. The stomach is identical to the soil. When we decided to lift up our roots and be a walking tree, so to speak, we decided to modify the organisms that's in the soil and bring them along with us. That's in our stomach. Understand? If you look at the stomach under a microscope, you're going to find billions and billions of microorganisms and more organisms there than there are stars in the sky. And scientists are coming around to saying our real brain is our stomach. If you want to be healthy, you have to have a functioning stomach. What does the stomach do? It transfers the nutrients from one form into a form that you can absorb. It's the same thing the soil does. It transforms the nutrients into a form that the plants can use. And when we are sick, that means we're not getting these nutrients. We're not getting these trace minerals. Look, everything comes down to a trace mineral deficiency. Every disease that we have comes down to one form or another of trace mineral deficiency. Every tree, every plant that has a disease or a pest comes down to a trace mineral deficiency. Hang on a second. I'm on the radio show. I'm sorry, guys. Hang on a second. Hang on, I'll be right back. Okay, I'm sorry, guys. I'm having a little, we're having home issues, you know. My wife's having a rough time. She's 87, okay? So figure it out. And we're having a little get-together here. Family's coming to visit. I'm telling you, you want to talk to your mom, you better do it while she's still here. You know, and I'm trying to keep it all together. Oh, what happened there? Okay. So, let's see. I'm not sure where I was at the moment. It's not easy maintaining, you know, function when everything's falling apart around you, that kind of stuff, you know. So, let's see. So, I was talking about health. And, you know, it's, I do this because I like to pass along my knowledge to people. I have 22 books, okay? Each of them are basically a little miniature class. And the stuff in the last, in my latest book is, I would say, well, it's like Einstein coming up with a theory of relativity. A lot of people are going, WTF, what's he talking about? What was he talking about? And it's pretty much, there's information in there that you're just not going to hear anywhere, like what I'm telling you now. Because a lot of people are saying we need to heal the soil, we need to, you know, take care of the soil, all that stuff. But when you talk to them, they really don't understand what's really going on down there. They have some idea that that's the direction we should go to. And that's what's going on with the climate change and all that stuff is going on now. One of my columns I wrote about Let's see if I'm doing this right. Hello, testing. Yep. One of the columns I wrote recently has to do with how humans, you know, it's all about money. Okay, it just comes down to money. But money is only a cost. You know, money is not evil and vice versa. Something has to make it, right, evil or useful, right? And guess who that is, right? I tell people you can't have more than one masters. Well, you can if you acknowledge all of them as your masters, right? I have lots of masters. Each one is equal to the other master, even though they may not like that, but that's the way it is. So money, there's nothing wrong with money. It's just how we use it, how we attach it, how we deal with it, right? How we use it, how we, you know. And all the problems of the world go back to money. The destruction of the soil started in the, well, it started not that long ago. When humans came on the planet, it took them a long time to figure out that they could actually start destroying things and making changes. They lived a long time in harmony and peace. The Native American Indians lived a long time in harmony and peace with nature, because they understood that this is our mother, right? That's why they call it mother, right? Because that's where we came from. We have to take care of the soil and the earth in order for us to survive. And, you know, it's, I don't want to say the end is near, but the end is near, okay? I mean, we passed the end already. We went off the cliff. We're in midair. We have no idea that we're in midair and we're falling. We're having a good time up here. Hey, it's wonderful. It's great. But you don't want to look down. And I have no idea how to help you. My spaceship is already floating, circling the earth. It has an endless supply of fuel, so it's never going to run out of gas or oxygen. And it can stay there forever. It'll pick me up as soon as this world goes poof. And it's not going to blow up yet, even though we could go that route. I tell people that even if a spaceship came and took all human beings off the planet, the planet's going to have to go through that. It's like a pendulum. Once you swung the pendulum one direction, it's going to swing in the other direction. You can't stop it. And all we could do now is slow down the pendulum swing and try to reestablish the natural pattern that nature has, Mother Nature has set up for us here. And I've explained to you all in the past about how climate change works, what's going on. And I also explained to you on the fact that we are already going into an ice age. And you go, wait a minute, we haven't gotten into the heat period yet. But look around at the temperatures that we're going into now, the coldest we've ever had in certain parts of the United States, the coldest we've ever had. And so it is obvious what happens, you know, and I can happy to explain it to you in a brief scenario. I can talk about climate change in a really fast, simple way. You understand, because it can be very complicated, but... And it's not that difficult to understand that it goes back down to law, cause, and effect. And the cause of all these things is humans. And you know, human beings are very unique in a lot of ways. You have a consciousness. All our creatures have consciousness, too. We have an intelligence. We have an ability to create. We have an ability to destroy. And we seem to have gone down this path of money, right? That's what the Aquarian Age is all about. Not using money. You don't need money. Like right now, we're overlapping. We're going from the Piscean Age to the Aquarian Age. Hey, I know all this stuff, okay? The Piscean Age to the Aquarian Age. And the Chinese say, and when they curse you, they say, may you be living in exciting times. Well, we're in exciting times. We're overlapping, where the fish have to learn to go from water beings to air beings. But that's what Aquarian is a water bearer, but it's an air being. Okay? And so, these ages, from, you know, from Taurus to the Pisces to Aquarius, they also correlate to energy. They also correlate to a space and time. And in essence, we are traveling through space, and we're traveling through time. We come. This is all cyclic. So we've been here before. Am I getting I don't have my headphones on. I probably should put my headphones on in case somebody wants to talk to me. Let's see. I don't hear anything. Cool. Okay. So it comes back down to what we're doing is we're destroying the soil, the the Industrial Revolution brought about chemical fertilizers. And on top of that, we have been destroying the soil through every which way but loose. We have, you know, I wrote a column called 10 Ways to Kill All Living Beings on the Planet. Turns out there are 10 environmental boundaries we should not be crossing. And guess what? We have crossed every single one of them, from clean water. You know, you got to have clean water. As soon as you start polluting water, you're going to have a problem. Clean air, you can't, if you can't breathe the air, you can't have toxins in the air. The soil is a part of one of the environmental boundaries. You can't pollute the soil. You can't have radiation. There are a bunch of other ones. The ocean, right? And so we have produced, you know, I wrote another article about the age of man. There's a name for it. I'm sorry, I forgot. But basically, it means the age. How can you tell when people are looking at us, you know, they're studying in the past and they see this, what they'll find is that everywhere on the planet there's a layer of plastic. The age of man is defined by this plastic everywhere. There isn't a place on the planet you're not going to find this plastic. There isn't a place on the planet that you're not going to find toxins. So it's what we're leaving behind is telling people we're one heavy toxic-oriented society here. We're producing toxins left and right. And the main thing it does is that it damages the soil. The soil destroys the soil. The soil is the key to everything. And I was explaining how the soil actually circulates the trace minerals, how the trace minerals were circulating, and how Mother Nature became very good at recycling everything, but in such a way that everybody benefited from it. As I was saying about the Industrial Revolution, okay, in terms of the Industrial Revolution, killing the soil, and, right, and producing more and more toxins. And then we have, you know, we've been killing billions and billions and billions of animals. And what did the animals do, right? What is the, in my opinion, because all animals do a variety of other things, you know, but what is it that they do? They were a major part of the recycling that Mother Nature has set up. Animals travel all over the world, from one part of the world to another part of the world. And what did they do? For starters, they pooped everywhere, right? And what does that mean? Dirty? No, that poop is what replenishes the soil. When the animals die and they decompose, what does that happen, right? It goes right back into the soil. And so we have taken all that away. We're not replenishing the soil with these, because that happened. Animal eats something and it will poop, and the natural bacteria in the stomach would decompose it to the point when it goes into the ground, the microbes take over and convert it into the nutrients needed for the plants. Right back to them, then it goes right back to us again. That cycle is not really happening as much as anymore. You know, we are making boundaries and barriers to keep animals, put up the wall, keep animals from going, traveling like they used to. There used to be billions and billions of bisons that travel up and down the United States, pooping, eating and pooping, right, and dying. And same thing around the world. We've been killing animals left and right. At the same time, we're producing more and more toxins, whether it be CO2, whether it be methane, whether it be all kinds of toxins that you've never been seen on the planet before, all of which is damaging the biosphere. And the main thing that's damaging is the soil's ability, because, you know, CO2, right? Let's look at CO2 for a second. The rise of CO2 has happened before in the past, but the system was there to control it. What do you think trees take in? What do they breathe? CO2. So what have we been doing? Cutting trees down left and right, right? Cutting the forest down left to right. The last time there was an ice age, it was called the Little Ice Age. It happened 500 years ago. And before that, there was a warming period called the Medieval Warming Period. It was during the Medieval Ages, 1400s about. And the law of nature basically says warming period is also followed by a cold period. And the reason for that is very simple. When you have a warming period, it gets hotter and hotter, more fresh water gets evaporated. Okay, more fresh water gets evaporated. The ocean, because it's salt water, doesn't get evaporated as easily as fresh water does. And also too, fresh water melts at a lower temperature than salt water does. And it all has to do with fresh water and salt water. It goes back, and part of it is there's more and more fresh water in the air. When wintertime comes around, more of it will turn into ice. See, get colder. And part of it's amazing how everything's so interconnected, okay? Because you have to understand that how we get climate in the first place. And the reason why we have climate is because of the Gulf Stream. And what does the Gulf Stream do? It controls the climates for us. It's a stream, right? The Gulf Stream circulates the Earth. And what does it do, really? How is it? What it does, it takes, it's, it, it, the ocean has these currents, right? The Gulf Stream. And the way the Gulf Stream works is that because the ocean is salt, salt water, when it's cold, sinks. See, salt water, when it's cold, rises. And when it's warmed, it sinks. It sinks because the cold rises and displaces it. That's why we have these icebergs. And on top of that, you have the icebergs because they're fresh water. So when you have massive icebergs and everywhere, they're fresh water and they melt and they get dumped into the ocean. And that salt water mixes, fresh water mixes with the salt water, dilutes it to a point where it's no longer circulating. The ocean would no longer be circulating because fresh water doesn't do that. Fresh water, which is freeze right up there, it won't sink. It won't rise. When it gets colder, it rises. When it's warmed, it sinks. See? It sinks because the colder salt water rises. And then it causes the circulation, which causes the circulation around the world, which causes climate change. When you stop that circulation, you're going to stop the climate change. You're going to slow it down. Next thing you know, it'll be like a really hot summertime really fast, and next thing you know, the rest of the year will be colder. Sooner or later, it'll be all cold all the time. That's what an ice age is, where there is no warming period anymore. It's just constantly cold all the time. Okay, now the last, before that, when there was a real ice age, which lasted millions of years, there were like thousands, the 10 times as high as the Empire State Building, the glaciers. Okay, so we are not going into that time period, even though we could conceivably be going into a major long time ice period. And to complicate matters more, it's not going to be just a normal ice period; it's going to be radioactive ice age, because we have all these nuclear plants everywhere that are going to break, and that radiation is going to be around for a long time, and it's going to get into the ice. It's going to get everywhere, and so. The relationship, the correlation with the CO2 rising is the fact that human beings have been producing more CO2, have been damaging the trees, which are destroying the trees, destroying forests, which are not holding CO2. We have been destroying the earth. The soil takes in carbon dioxide and uses the carbon to form a carbonic acid, which is what it uses to break down the trace minerals. And then you have the ocean. The ocean takes in the carbon, the CO2, it sucks it up. That's what it's supposed to do. If it was salt water, because that's what salt water does. The salts combine with the carbon, the CO2, to form other substances that can then be used. Whereas the fresh water won't do that, and it won't hold the CO2. And then on top of that, the CO2 is being dispersed back out, just like through the soil, through our bad farming practices, right? Because that's one of the things that started with the Industrial Revolution. The guy would get a tractor and plow thousands and thousands of acres and plant thousands and thousands of acres of corn, say. Whereas before, you were limited to what you can grow by what you type of fertilizers you use. And you was using organic fertilizers before then. You was using homemade organic fertilizer that you made, whether you be animal part, blood meal, whatever you'd be using, mainly different types of animal manure, whatever, plowing it back into making compost. See, right? But now what we've done is that we've increased the temperature faster than ever before, as increased within a short period of time. And again, it's another natural law. The faster you go up, right, the faster you go down. Not that hard to figure out. So the higher the temperature is going to go, the colder it's going to get for longer. And there's no way to tell, and it's not usually the same time period. It's not like warming period 500 years, cold period 500 years. If that warming period happened to be, say, 100 years, because we're on track to be even less than 100 years, do more damage in terms of the soil, in terms of temperature rising within a short period of time than ever before. Right now, we have done more damage to the soil than all of mankind has in all of history of mankind. We've done in the last 50 years and then the last, history of mankind, okay? That's in 50 years. We've done more damage to the soil than all humankind have done in thousands and thousands of years we've been around. In the last 50 years, 100 years, but 50 years when the Industrial Revolution came along, that speeded everything right up. Let's see. Okay. So what I've been saying for a long time is that we can't fix, you have to pay attention to the law of cause and effect. And if you're trying to fix the effect, you're never going to solve this problem. We already have a problem now, and how do we survive these changes so that the earth settles down? It may not even settle down back to the way it was before. There's no reason to say that the Earth is going to go back to being an oxygen planet. We were a methane planet until it got cold enough where it froze the methane, permafrost and all the things, basically methane frozen up. And then there are these other creatures came along which ate methane, and they produced oxygen. Scientists have found a few of them are left on the planet, not very many of them. And who knows, maybe they'll start to, maybe when there's more methane now, they'll somehow come back to life somehow and start eating methane and produce CO2. Maybe not. Because the thing that, that you have to understand is we weren't there when all this was happening. We weren't producing all these toxins, radiation, all this stuff. So by having a toxic Earth, that's going to prevent these things from coming back and doing the things this life is supposed to. The radiation lasts for thousands and thousands of years. Nothing alive will grow there. So we're already preventing the Earth from taking care of itself by polluting it. So there's a big, big, big mess here. And, I don't want to say it's the end of the world for living beings. The world will be here, right? The planet will evolve back into something. Who knows what it will be, whether it be methane. Methane will take over. Methane's already... There's more and more methane now on the planet than ever before in the last million years, easily enough. They found methane shooting out of the ocean off the coast of California. Last time it did that was 400 million years ago. Yeah. So it's like, a part of me says, well, what's the point of trying to tell people about organic gardening? What's the point in telling them you have to heal the soil? What's the point in meditating if we're all going to die? And so it's a little bit like I feel like the guy standing in the corner of the end of the world is near, right? What I do now is I have a chalkboard. I just erase it. End of the world is near. And then I write, the end of the world is really close. The end of the world is like almost here. Look, you can see the end of the world. There, oh, too late. It's the end of the world. Bye. The world's over with. I feel like we're a bunch of chickens running around with a head cut off, and we don't know our head's been cut off, okay? So it's not really looking good at a lot of different levels, because I think people are going to have to, they don't realize they're in deep doo-doo here. And so... the name of my show is actually, I'm going to change it to Panic. Panic, panic, panic. Oh, I got to push this button. We'll be right back. you another song I've written called Holographic Transference. I'm telling you, this holographic thing is the key to our survival, in the sense that the holographs can be used to change physical environments. It's part of the key to removal of toxins, and it's part of the key to re-energizing the soil. So that's one reason why I'm into it. You know, I'm writing a new book called Energetic Healing. And so, and the music, by the way, is not for us humans. No, it happens to work for us humans, yes, but it's really for the plant, for the plants and the soil. I tell people, take a speaker out there and play it in the garden. You'd be surprised at what it does to your plants. one of the books I read was The Secret Life of Plants, and I read another one, The Secrets of the Soil. Very good books. I walked away with a lot more stuff than they had written down in there, because a lot of it already intuitively knew. And I still feel that frequencies is the answer to healing the soil, healing the soul, human soul, and healing the soil, right, of the earth. And so I'm gonna try to talk a little bit about bricks and minerals. And so you already know we're in the soil, great soil cloud. We're at that point now where there's less and less and less living soil out there, and more toxic soil. And you can't grow nutritional food if it ain't there. It may look like it's edible and you can eat it, but you're gonna die from malnutrition. And that's exactly what genetically modified corn is. They took that to Africa and gave them GMO seeds and said, look, it's yours free. Millions of acres you can grow corn. And they grew it, and they were so happy that corn everywhere. But the doctors noticed that people weren't getting any healthier. They were getting weaker. They were getting nutritionally deficient. They realized there's nothing nutritional in the corn. See? And then on top of that, you had to go buy seeds again because they won't reproduce. And then on top of that, the bugs finally figured out there was corn. Even the bugs were going, we can't eat this stuff. You know? So let me talk to you a little bit about, so let's move on. So the world's going to end. Okay, fine. I'll just have the sign. I'll be out there until the very end. trying to explain to people what's going on. And that's how Organic Gardening can save the earth, because save the world, because we need to pay attention to the basic principles of organic gardening to have a healthy soil, right? And we can't have a healthy soil if it's full of plastic, if it's full of toxins, if it's radiated, herbicides, fungicides. And that's how I work as an organic arborist. I mean, the first year I started, calling myself Invisible Gardener, lady called me up and says, I have a major, my tree is sick. No, wait, she says, I have a major ant problem. Turns out she had a sick tree. If you ever notice ants climbing up a tree, that's because the tree is sick and the ants know it. And when the tree is sick, it means it's deficient in certain trace minerals, which protects it from the ants or any other creature. The ants, I've evolved to eat trace mineral deficient plants. That's how they know that the plant's sick, because it's trace mineral deficient. They're not saying, I'm eating that plant because it's trace mineral deficient. They're saying, I'm eating it because it's food for me. Tastes great to me. And I explained a long time ago to everybody what the difference between a plant that has trace minerals in it and a plant that doesn't have the necessary trace minerals in it. It may look the same to you, but not to the bug. And it won't look the same under a refractometer. It won't look the same. It won't have the same BRICS reading. Brix is a measurement of sugar. I know that. But I realized a long time ago that it's also a measurement of the trace minerals that you have. A refractometer, what it does, it refracts light and breaks it up into different elements. That's how you can tell what the sun what planets and stars are made out of by using a refractometer. And so what a refractometer does is also measures sugar levels. And so it turns out that sugar is a carrier of the trace minerals, because the sugar goes into your body, right? And that's how you get the trace minerals. The sugar carries it to different parts of the body. It mixes in with the sugar molecules. You see? So when you use a refractometer and you want to measure the Brix level of a fruit, it tells you the sugar level, but it also tells you basically how much trace minerals it has. Okay? So when you have a high Brix reading, you're going to have a high trace minerals. Now, that's not entirely correct. Okay? So let me clarify that. So a refractometer isn't as complicated as a refractometer that astronomers use. Astronomers, when they have a refractometer, it's millions of dollars of dyeing equipment, which then breaks down the light for you, and you can actually see the colors, and then the computer tells you this is iron, this is gold, this is mercury, this is whatever element tells you that, and the combination. This handheld refractometer doesn't do that. All it does is tells you the amount of sugar in a plant. As a level of gauge, you can say it has 32 or 23. The Brix level is 23, say. But when scientists, specifically farmers, started using it, they realized that the higher the Brix level, the higher the healthier the tree is going to be. So there must be some correlation. They can't say, well, it's just sugar makes you healthy, right? It's not the sugar that makes you healthy. It's the trace minerals that comes with it. So once, there are a bunch of scientists that I've been reading up when I first started doing this. I love scientists to a certain degree. So one of them is the Kerry Ream, R-E-A-M, Kerry Ream, Reams. And he basically came up with the fuzzy line rule. Okay, so when you look at a refractometer, you're basically looking at two areas. One's a white area, one's a dark area. Below is a dark area, and above is a white area. There's where they both meet, you have this line, dark and white. And it crosses a ladder which has numbers, scales, right? And it starts, they're all different for different readings and different uses. In my terms, and for gardening, it starts at 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, and so on, right, up to 32. And so where the dark and the white meet, and that line meets at 22, that's the Brix reading, 22. But the fuzzy line rule basically says if that line between the white and the dark is fuzzy, that has more trace minerals than if it had a sharp line. A really sharp line means basically it has one or two trace minerals in it. Now, to me, that doesn't really make a lot of sense in a certain level, because you can't have a really high Brix level with only one or two trace minerals. See what I'm saying? And so what I realize what happens is that because it measures the level of sugar, when the fruit ferments, the sugar level is higher. When a fruit ripens, the sugar level is higher. It's sweeter, right? So the higher the Brix levels go up, it's because there are more variety of trace minerals. And so So there's a limit. So if you're missing some trace minerals, you only go up so high. See? So if you have refractometer is used for beer, for wine, right? To measure the fruit, so orange juice, for example. So orange juice is a perfect example. So the Brix reading of a citrus should be 23 or higher. I like them at 28. 28 is a really great Brix level reading. So if you had a Brix level of 28, you shouldn't be able to see the line. You should be really fuzzy. The fuzziness should be quite extensive, too. It should be like rather one solid line with a black meat there should be an area, maybe, you know, depends on the size, but quarter inch, half an inch, maybe even an inch, fuzzy line that goes across. That means you have a wide variety of trace minerals. Okay? So when I was reading that, I'm going, yeah, trace minerals are related to, the two are related. Okay, and then I also came to the conclusion that there's a difference between a reading of a juice of the citrus and reading the actual tree, actual leaf or flower. So I started reading, I would take a leaf and crush it in the mortar and do a readings of it and compare it to the actual reading of the juice. And you have to understand the difference. The difference is, again, sugar. So this will measure the sugar in it, and but the leaf doesn't have that much sugar. Okay, the photosynthesis is very different for a leaf than for the juice. And so you get to understand that when you do a Brix reading, you're going to get high. You're going to need to go for the higher Brix levels, right? And the higher Brix levels basically should translate to higher mineral levels. There's a problem when you do chemical fertilizers as opposed to organic fertilizers. The high nitrogen will give you a high Brix reading, artificial high Brix reading, because it raises the sugar levels. But because it's not, all the trace minerals are not there, it's going to drop down afterwards. You're going to end up with a lower Brix reading after it's done than when you started. Whereas in an organic system, you're going to raise the Brix level, and the Brix level stay up there at that level. Big difference. I think we got a little bit more time. I'm not really sure. Nobody seems to be saying anything or doing anything.
Alexa, or Alexa, Evan.
Oh, great. Hang on a second. Hello, I'm doing my radio show right now. You should really try calling us some other time. Thank you. I tell you, man, my friends love calling me on the show. You know why? Because I put out the energy. This is energy that's transmitted around the world. And my friends are keyed into me. And other people pick up on it or something. So that's kind of cool. And so anyway, we're going to be back again. We're going to be hopefully doing a lot more stuff here on this station. So stay tuned to it. Visit my website, invisiblegardener.com. Membership is free. There's no reason why you can't join. As a member, you can get all my books, 22 books in ebook format. It's free. Plus, you get my help. And I have tons and tons of information up there for you. So visit invisiblegardener.com today. Buy my book, Don't Panic, It's Organic. Get it anywhere your books are sold. Go to Amazon, for starters. If you're Amazon Prime, get free shipping. And it's called Don't Panic, It's Organic by the Invisible Gardener. That's me, Andy Lopez. Visit my website, join my club, get my newsletter, get my podcast, right? Let me know you're out there. Talk to me. Send me email, andylopez@invisiblegardener.com. And I'll answer your questions. I tell people I don't do marital problems. But I have saved some families because a little boy wants to kiss, kill that bug. And then the answer is not to kill the bug, there's a reason, the bug's here for a reason. deal with the cause. If a bug's after the plant, then what's wrong with the plant? It's the plant's the sick, something's going on there. So I'm going to pass on the information to you as much as I can to help you. That's what I'm here for, okay? And so come back next week. I'll be right here. If you want to talk to me, just send me an email. I'm happy to give out the phone number, right? And, stop by my website. I think you'll like it. I do, my music is up there on SoundCloud. It's up there on Yango, Spotify, iTunes, the podcast. You can get the podcast right here on BBS Radio PR, or you can get the podcast on invisiblegardener.com or any place else you get your podcast, because we're all over the place. So I think I got to see what time is it. Oh, it's a time. I don't hear anything from my engineer because it's 2:00. And you know what happens at 2:00 is when my other show comes back on.